Well, good morning, everyone. We are so glad to have you that are here in person joining us in worship, and we welcome the entire New Life family and everyone who is tuning in by live stream with us this morning. It's always a joy and a privilege to be able to gather together with God's people in worship, and we welcome each and every one of you, and we encourage everybody just to take this opportunity to share the live stream right now on your social media feeds. Be a social media evangelist. Hit that share button so that you can invite all of your friends and family members to hear the good news of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. We're so glad to be able to gather together with you in worship, and we're going to open our service reading from Luke 19, verse 10, and it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And Jesus spoke these words to a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector who the Jewish people thought tax collectors were so corrupt and such low lives that they were beyond the reach of God's grace. But Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And Jesus had gone into this tax collector's home because he was seeking to save him that day. Aren't you glad Jesus came seeking for you? Aren't you glad Jesus saved you? He didn't wait for you to get your act together, but he looked beyond your sins and your faults, and he loved you, and he accepted you just the way that you were. And that's the great grace of our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you're saved, stand to your feet, whether you're here in person or out there on the live stream. Don't get lazy. Stand to your feet. We're going to worship the Lord tonight, and we're going to thank him that grace has come into our house and that he has saved us. Amen. Lift up your voice together with me. Our gracious and loving Lord and Savior, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for loving us enough to come seeking after us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that when we were not looking for you, you came looking for us, Lord God, because you wanted to save us. We thank you for your grace that is greater than all of our sin. We can't praise you enough for loving us and for saving us. Thank you for the privilege of having a relationship with you, O Lord. We love you, and we want to love you more fully. We want to follow you more faithfully, and we want to serve you, Lord God, more completely. We invite your Holy Spirit now to come and have his way in us, work in us, and change us, that we might bring glory and honor to your name. Have your way in our midst today and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're glad to have a portion of our worship team here with us this morning. So lift your hearts and voices and worship the Lord together with us today.
We welcome you, Jesus. And we declare that your grace is amazing. And we thank you, Lord, because it's by your grace that we are here this morning. Have your way among us, Holy Spirit.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Jesus, breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is amazing.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my wrong. With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Yes, oh God, we praise your name, oh Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We declare this morning that there is nothing, nothing like our Lord. Amen. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like his love. Nothing like his truth. Nothing like walking a life where Jesus is the Lord and the center of everything. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
I searched the world.
Couldn't fill me.
But it couldn't fill me.
Nothing.
My mind's empty grace and treasures that faith are never enough.
But then you came along, Jesus.
And you came along. And put me back together.
Satisfied.
Now satisfied here in your love.
And lift your hands and say, Lord, there's nothing. Declare that this morning.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Nothing, Lord, nothing like you.
God of the
valley.
It's the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy
won't find me.
Won't find me again.
Oh, let's shout it out this morning. There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing. Turn my morning. You turn mourning to dancing. You gave beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn birds into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
There's nothing, my Lord.
Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Let's declare it again. There's nothing.
Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Nothing is better than you. Nothing is better than you.
Come on, let's give him the glory. Nothing, no one can even compare to our Lord Jesus. We worship you. We wait on you. Let's just take a moment right now just to worship him. Right where you are, tell him, Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for saving me. I thank you for healing me. I thank you for setting me free. I thank you for providing my needs. I thank you for being not only a God, but being my best friend, my Father. I thank you because you're with me in the mountain and you're with me in the valley. You're with me in the storm and you're with me in the calm. And I'll be still right now. I'll be still right now and know that you are God. Let me find you in the stillness of my life right now. Let me shut off the voices in my mind, the voices in my emotions, the voices in the world around me. And Jesus, I choose the best part right now, like Mary. And that is to sit at your feet, Jesus. Because who can give me words of life? Who can teach me how to live? Who can teach me how to be a godly man, how to be a godly woman? Who can give me the answers? Who can show me the way? Only you, God. Only you, Jesus. Have your way.
This is the end.
Yes, hello.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
You are my daily bread, O Lord.
This is my daily bread.
Thank you.
turn everything to me, Jesus.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is my daily bread.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship Him for a moment.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Just enter in, entering in the presence of the Lord. Tell Him in your own words. Don't rely in the words of somebody else.
Yes, Lord.
But in your own words, tell Him. Tell Him how much you love Jesus. Tell Him how, what He means to you.
Jesus.
Yada mama, yada mama. Yada mama, yada mama, mama. Yada da 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 da.
Hallelujah, 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 Lord. We worship you this morning. We bow our hearts before your presence, oh God. And we cry out to you, oh Lord, because we need you. You are life. You are joy. You are hope. You are peace. You are wholeness. You are strength. You are power. You are our all in all. And we need you, Lord. We need you more than the breath that we breathe, oh God. We honor you. We honor you. Come and move here among us again, Lord. In a fresh way, Lord. Come and fill us with your Spirit, oh God. Breathe upon us the breath of your Spirit, oh God. Infuse us with your life, with your strength, with your power. Minister as only you can, Lord God. Minister as only you can. We wait on you, Lord God. We wait on you, Lord God. We seek you, Lord.
I'm lost without
you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. Lift your hands to heaven and make this your prayer.
I'm lost without you.
Just worship it. Just worship it.
Ask him right now to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God. Come and fill us. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit, oh God. Move in our hearts. Move in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We open ourselves up to you right now. We yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit. And we say, have your way in us, Lord God. Do what only you can do in our lives, Lord. We worship you. And we welcome you here. Hallelujah. 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 As we continue to worship the Lord, we're going to go before him in prayer. And as we're praying, we want to pray for the family of Avis Nelson, who went to be with the Lord late Friday evening. And, you know, Maria Hammond is a member of our church, and Judith Brown, who was many years a member of our church but is unable to come out anymore. This is their sister, and so we want to pray comfort for this family right now, that God would just be with them and surround them with his love. We want to also pray for the family of Ada Reyes. She was placed in hospice last week, and I heard someone say that they think she might have already passed, but the family was of course, you know, distraught and waiting for that to happen. We want to pray for the family of Ada Reyes and just lift them before the Lord. And I saw that Eleanor mentioned that there's four families that are in need of prayer during a time of loss. So let's lift these families before the Lord. If you have a need, stretch your hand out towards heaven. It's just an act of faith that we're trusting in God. We're reaching out to him. And let us pray and intercede. If you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. He will intercede through you for these needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. Lord, we need you desperately. We need you desperately, Lord. We just come on behalf of these families, Lord God, and we're lifting up Avis's family, Lord. We're praying for Maria Hammond and Judith Brown and all of the nieces and nephews, Lord God. We pray that you would just surround them with your love, Lord God. We pray that you would undergird them with your strength, that they would feel your everlasting arms beneath them as you carry them through this dark time, Lord God. Let your peace that passes all understanding minister to their hearts and minds. We lift Avis's family before you, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just surround them with your love. Hold them fast in the embrace of your presence, O God. Strengthen them and be to them everything they need you to be. We thank you that in times like these, you are a very present help in the time of trouble. Be very present with them, Lord God. Father, we lift these four families that Eleanor is presenting before you, Lord God. You know exactly what the need is in each of their lives, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you would just make yourself manifest to them, Lord. If they do not know you as Savior, that you would use this as opportunity to turn their hearts towards you, Lord God, and that you would be made real in each of their lives, and that you would meet them at the point of their need, Lord God. Lord, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we pray right now that you would look down and see the hands of your people lifted before you. Father, you know exactly the need that is represented in each heart, and you hear every cry. We are praying right now that your right arm of strength would be stretched forth towards them, Lord God, that you would release your power on their behalf, Lord. Father, where there is sickness, we are praying for the release of your healing virtue into their bodies right now, that you would touch and quicken them and raise them back up by the power of your Holy Spirit. Where there is emotional brokenness, where there is depression, where there is anxiety, where there is stress, Lord God, or any emotional need, Lord God, Father, we pray right now that your Spirit would just heal their souls, Lord God. You are the restorer of our souls. Restore their soul. Heal them in their mind and their emotions, Lord God. Deliver them from depression and anxiety, Lord God. Touch them right now in Jesus' name. Father, we're praying for those with financial needs, Lord. We are praying that you would open your mighty hand and that you would supply. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, our provider. In the same way that you provided a lamb in the thicket for Abraham, Father, you can provide for your people today. Father, do what only you can do, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are praying for those that are facing problems, Lord God, and difficulties that they see no way out of, Lord God. But even as you parted the waters of the Red Sea and you made a way where there was no way, Father, we are praying that you would just open a way before your people, Lord God, and that you would work in such a way, Lord God, that your glory would be evident and that you would receive all of the praise and all of the honor, Lord God. Father, we are believing you for breakthrough on behalf of your people as we commit each and every one of these needs into your able hands, and we thank you for it, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. So good to have each and every one of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors present here among us today? Anyone for the first time in our midst? We seem to be all home folks, but we welcome all of you. And if we have any first-time visitors watching us on live stream, we welcome you. And we would ask you right now to put in the comments first time and let us know where you're tuning in from. We just want an opportunity to connect with you and welcome you. And we're so glad for everyone who's joining us, whether in person or online. And we welcome you to the New Life family. At this time, we just want to keep you abreast of some of the things that that are happening that can help you get connected. We have our Growth Track classes coming up on April the 11th, Saturday, April the 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1. Class 101 is the membership class. It's discovering membership. In that class, you'll find out what the church is, what it means to be a church member, what our vision is, what our ministry philosophy is, and all of those things. And you can have our vision and you can have your questions answered. And so we encourage you to join us for class 101. Class 201 is developing maturity, because it's not enough just to have our name on a church membership roll, but we need to be growing in our relationship with the Lord. And this class will help equip you with the tools or practices to develop in your life so that you can have a vital and growing relationship with the Lord. So it'll teach you how to read God's word and hear him speaking to you and apply it to your life, how to pray effectively, how to fast, the importance of being in church, etc. All of these things that will help ensure that you have a growing relationship with the Lord. Class 301 is discovering ministry, and in that class, you'll discover how God has given you a unique personality and unique spiritual gifts and taken your life experiences to shape you for the ministry that he has for you, because God has a ministry for every single one of us. There is no Christian that should be sitting on the sidelines. Amen? God has a position for every one of us on the field. A position of ministry. Amen. And so we encourage you to take this class. You'll take a gifts inventory and you'll take a personality profile that will help you better understand how your personality and how your gifts shape you for ministry. An excellent class. And so we encourage you to get connected through these classes. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Connect tab, and on the drop down menu, select Growth Track, and you can see all the classes listed there, and then hit the Enroll button to enroll. To take any of the upper level classes, you first have to have taken the classes prior to that. So to take 201, you first have to take 101 and so forth. But we encourage you to get online right after the service so that you don't forget it and enroll. Just go to our website, click the Connect tab, and on the drop-down menu, click Growth Track, and be sure and enroll for those classes coming up on Saturday, April the 11th. And of course, we want to remind you that we have resumed in-person services on Sundays at 11 a.m. And you know what? Easter is coming up, and Easter is a time of new beginnings. Amen? It's a time of a fresh start. So I'm glad for all the people that are here, but I want to talk to all the people out there in live stream land. Amen? Because some of us, we could be coming out, but we've gotten comfortable staying home. Amen? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so Easter is a fantastic time to break that habit of spiritual laziness. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Amen. But it's time to break that habit, and it's time to let's get back out in the house of the Lord with the people of God and worship his name. Amen. So you don't have to wait till Easter, but Easter's just 2 weeks ago away. You don't have to wait till Easter. You could start next week. Amen. But we encourage you to break that habit of staying home and watching church in your easy chair. Amen. And let's get out and be in church with the church. Amen. There's nothing like in-person worship. Praise God. Praise God. So we encourage you. I'm challenging you to be back in the house of the Lord. As long as your health allows it, be back in the house of the Lord for Easter. Amen. All you have to do is get online, make a reservation, nl-fl.org. Click the register to attend button to reserve your seat. Of course, we are all wearing masks and we're socially distancing and we're taking temperature checks and what have you to keep everybody as safe as possible. But we encourage you to come on out if you are able. We also remind everybody that we are continuing to live stream all of our services, Sunday mornings 11 a.m., Sunday evenings at 6:30. There's a time of worship, prayer, and devotion from the home with Pastor Anna and Joyce. Wednesday evenings, we have a message, and we have a time of worship, and we have a time of corporate prayer with our pastoral staff. And then on Thursday evenings, there's another time of devotion and word and prayer with Pastor Anna and Joyce, and sometimes with some members of the worship team. So we encourage you to be a part of that as frequently as you can to keep yourself encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. Amen. And don't let your spiritual habits die. Do you know that they've said that since the lockdown of last year, since the pandemic started, that daily Bible reading of Christians has plummeted? And they said that the research shows that there's a direct connection between Christians reading the Bible and being in church. Amen. So don't let your spiritual practices fall by the wayside. Amen. Amen. Let's get back in there and let's start seeking the Lord and doing all the things that we need to be having a growing relationship with the Lord. And everybody, even those at home, said amen. 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 Praise the Lord. All right. And we encourage you that we have children's ministry. Get your kids involved in that. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. by Zoom. We also have youth and young adults, girls ministry, Royal Rangers by Zoom. And I can't wait. Hopefully in just a few months, we'll be able to start returning to having all of those ministries in person. Hopefully, you know, in midsummer, late summer, we'd be able to get back to all of those things. So all of our leaders be thinking in that way, and let's be preparing for that. But in the meantime, we have all of those ministries on Zoom, and we encourage you to get connected. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving at this time, and I just want to share a passage of scripture to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. And the scripture says in 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5, it says, "Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, 'My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today?" Who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? You know, David didn't build the temple, but he spent a lifetime preparing the materials for the building of the temple. And as king, he amassed great riches from the spoils of war. And he set those aside to build the temple of the Lord. But David felt a need to give, not only as a king from the resources of his kingdom, but to also give personally from his own private treasure to build the house of the Lord. And we're told in verses 3 and 4 that David gave gold and silver from his own
private resources and his personal gifts added up to what one Bible commentator estimates would be a value worth about $1.8 billion today. That's all the tons of gold and silver that he gave, $1.8 billion of his own private money. And why did David give such a large gift? He tells us in verse 3 that it was because of his devotion to the temple of the Lord, because of his devotion to the temple of the Lord. And after making such a large gift, David encourages the people of Israel to follow his example and to consecrate themselves to the Lord. Some versions say, and the word consecrate means to set yourself aside unto the Lord. And so he encourages them to consecrate themselves and to give to the house of the Lord, because David knew that if they devoted themselves or consecrated themselves to God, then giving would be easy. Because once you give yourself to God, then giving what you have to God is easy. So today, if we love God's house, if we are devoted to God, let us consecrate ourselves and build his house. Let us give unto the house of the Lord. And you can worship the Lord in three different ways. You can worship the Lord through text giving. The number's on your screen, 954-516-1522. Just text any amount, hit send. If you're giving $25, it's 25. Hit send. If you're giving $1 million or $1 billion like David or whatever, well, you get the picture. No decimal point or no zeros necessary. Just hit the send button. And if you're a first-time giver, you'll get a return text with a link. Click that link, and it'll open up a page where you can fill in your name and your payment information. After that, that information is saved in the secure servers of Purpose Gateway. You won't have to enter it again. Just save the phone number on your phone. Next time you want to give, pull it up in your messaging app and type the amount. Hit send, and you're good to go. If you're giving to the building fund or to the missions fund, just text the amount followed by the word building or the amount followed by the word missions and hit send. And if you're more comfortable, you can give online. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the give tab, and your options for giving are there. You can give either through Purpose Gateway, the same server that we use for text giving, or you can give through PayPal, whatever's more convenient for you. Third way of giving, you can always mail your tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord. Of course, the easiest way of giving, you can automate your giving through Purpose Gateway to give however frequently. If you give weekly, you give biweekly, you give monthly, you can set that up automatically as you do for perhaps many of your other bills, and that will make it even easier for you. But right now, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving. So if you're giving by text, just lift your phone to the Lord. Given by computer or tablet, just touch that as a point of contact, and let's declare the Word of God over our lives by faith. Stand to your feet here in person and at home. Break that laziness cycle. Stand to your feet right where you are, and let's declare by faith God's word over our lives. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens, an overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We appreciate it. I know God will bless you for it. And because of you, we're able to continue ministering here locally and also supporting more than 50 missionary partners all around the world. And in every life that's touched, God is going to remember that, because your giving made it possible, and you will be rewarded for that. Amen. Let's take this opportunity to worship the Lord as the worship team comes back to lead us in song.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where
is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song.
Praise and magnify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. We appreciate you. Thank you. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Acts 1:8. We're continuing our series, City Changers, today. And this morning's message is our vision series for the year, because God has called us to change our city one person at a time. We can make a difference. We can change our city. And today's message is titled, Little Can Make a Big Difference. Little can make a big difference. Sometimes, you know, we feel so little. We feel like what we have to give or offer, whether through our talents, our gifts, or even our finances, is so little. What difference can it make? But I love an Indian proverb that I read several years ago. And it says this: if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping in a closed room with a little mosquito. It'll catch up with some of you in a moment. But you know, too often we're paralyzed by the lie. We're paralyzed by the lie that we are too small and powerless to make a difference. But there's a spiritual principle throughout the Bible that God loves to use small things to make a big difference. He used a small staff in Moses' hands to work mighty miracles that freed the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage, parted the Red Sea, and caused water to flow from a rock in the desert. Just a small rod in Moses' hands. God used a small stone in the hands of young David to slay the giant Goliath and to give the victory to Israel over the mighty Philistine army. God used a small band of 300 men led by a fearful Gideon to defeat a Midianite army of several hundred thousand men. Just a small band of 300 defeated an army of several hundred thousand men. God used a small boy's lunch to feed a crowd of 5,000. And in the book of Acts, God used a small group of believers to change a major city, the city of Jerusalem, and eventually to turn the world upside down, as the scripture says. To 120 believers, a small band of followers, hiding in fear for their lives due to the persecution that had led to Christ's crucifixion, Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." How daunting that statement must have seemed to this small band of fearful believers whose leader had just been executed and their own lives were in jeopardy. They must have felt so small, so inadequate, so powerless. But you know, the prophet Zechariah spoke to a small group of people who also felt inadequate and powerless in Judah after they had returned from Babylonian exile. And he was encouraging them in a similar situation when they were having a difficult time rebuilding the temple of God in the face of constant enemy opposition and many setbacks. And he exhorted the people of Judah, saying, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." And he said, "For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord, that this mountain that stands before you shall be made as flat ground. And the hands that started this building are the hands that will complete this building." Hallelujah. Do not despise the day of small beginning. The opposition was strong. The people were tired from fighting and trying to build. The budget was low because they had been in exile for 70 years, and they had just returned to a destroyed Jerusalem, their own homes destroyed, their own farms destroyed, and their morale was low. They felt like the job would never get done. So they were in a situation similar in many ways to what we're going through. We have been striving and fighting to grow as a church and to build our building for years now. First, we had to buy land, and that seemed impossible because land in the area was over $1 million an acre. And then, thank God, in 2008, when the recession hit and the land prices plummeted, God favored us, and we were able to get 13.5 acres for $5.5 million. And banks were not loaning at that time because of the financial industry was at the center of the recession and had a lot of defaulted loans. But God was so good because in the 3 years prior to that, we had record levels of giving in our church, and we were able to save $3 million. And then the land that we got had a $2.5 million assumable loan on it. I mean, to the exact amount, we had what was necessary to put down and what was necessary to assume. And praise God, he enabled us within 5 years to pay that off. And then we had to do the horizontal phase of construction, the parking lot and the drainage lake and all of that stuff that you don't really see, the underground stuff. And that was $2.4 million. And God enabled us graciously in December of 2019 to pay that off completely. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now we're striving to build our building, amen? To actually go vertical. We did the horizontal construction. Now we want to go vertical. Praise the Lord. But that's going to be about a $4.5 to $5 million job. And before we can qualify for that, we've got to save about $1 million. And then hit the pandemic. But praise God, God's favor, we've been able to pay all our bills and we're still able to save, amen, and we've been able to save about $300,000 towards that million, so we're almost one-third of the way there. Can you say praise God, amen? So God has been with us, and he has been blessing us, so we've not seen the growth or the progress as speedily as we would have liked because, you know, we like things quick, don't we? And so the process sometimes, you know, it kind of can discourage us, some of us, or it can cause our morale to be low. And then we hear a message about reaching our city and reaching the world, and we feel so small. We feel so powerless. We feel inadequate. Have you ever felt that way? If not, I'll give an altar call for liars at the end of the service, but we've all felt that way, I believe, at some time. But I want you to hear again the promise of Zechariah to this discouraged people. As he says in Zechariah 4:6, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." God is saying, yes, you're right. You don't have the strength to do this. You don't have the power to do this, but I have the power to accomplish all that I'm calling you to do. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. This was the word of the Lord to Judah in that day, and the word of the Lord to the early church when Jesus said to this small group of believers who were in fear for their lives, and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, God is saying, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it is by my spirit. that you can reach your city and you can reach the world. So the Lord promises them and us that we would not be left to our own resources to attempt to accomplish this great task. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that anointed him for ministry, the same Spirit that flowed through him with supernatural power to heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed, to preach the gospel with divine authority that convicted the hearts of the hearer and enabled him to stand boldly in the face of opposition and threat. That same Spirit is still being poured out today, and the power that he supplies is more than sufficient for the task that he is calling us to. He's calling us to reach our city and the world, and his power is more than sufficient. We just got to let it flow through us. Amen? The power is flowing, but then sometimes there's a blockage. Amen? His power is being poured out, but we got to let it flow through us. We've got to yield. We've got to surrender. We've got to step out in faith. And so we see when he said, you know, that he was going to pour out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Spirit. And we see that it was more than sufficient for the task. We see it demonstrated in the early church that on the very day of Pentecost, when his Spirit was poured out, what happened? 3,000 people got saved. Hallelujah. A few days later, after the healing of the lame man at the gate beautiful, what happened? 5,000 people were saved. Then Philip wasn't even an apostle. Philip wasn't a pastor. He wasn't an evangelist. He was a lay person, an ordinary person. And he goes to the city of Samaria, and he starts talking to them about Jesus, and the whole city gets saved. And then baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this pattern continued throughout the book of Acts with the ministry of Paul and moving out to the ends of the earth. And we see whole cities time and again throughout the book of Acts being changed. Whole cities being reached for the glory of God with the gospel. If God did it then, has God changed? If God did it then he can do it again. And he wants to do it through us. Truly, in the first century, the church grew from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And it all started with a small band of believers who felt weak, inadequate, and fearful. They felt they were unable to make a difference until the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them. And this is what God wants to do in us and through us today. He still calls us to reach our Jerusalem, to reach our city, and to reach our county, and to reach to the ends of the world. No matter how small, no matter how weak, no matter how insignificant we may feel, and no matter how impossible the task may appear, this is the mission that he has commanded us to fulfill. So how can we accomplish it? Well, Jesus gives us his plan in this verse in Acts 1:8. How can we accomplish this mission of reaching our city and reaching our world? First, Jesus' plan says we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what does his plan mean? His plan says seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to obey me, if you're going to do what I've called you to do, you got to start by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means we have to seek to be filled with the Spirit. You know, Jesus had just commanded his followers to go and wait in Jerusalem until they were filled with power from on high. This was his command, and it's his command to us too today, because he wants us to be filled with the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The only people who don't need the power of the Holy Spirit are the ones who are not trying to live for God and who don't do anything or attempt anything for God. If that's you, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. If you're not concerned about living for God, and if you're not concerned about doing what God has called you to do, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. But if that's not you, and you want to live for God, and you want to do what God has called you to do, then guess what? You need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, if we attempt to do the work of God without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will get only what human effort can produce, which is not much. It is not much. You know, the disciples prior to Pentecost, they had some success in ministry during the time that they were with Jesus. But they had a lot of failure too. You know, they had some failure too, like the man that brought his demon-possessed son to his disciples and they couldn't cast him out. You remember that? But after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they saw thousands come to Christ with a single message or with a single miracle. They saw whole cities come to Christ, and they were called the men who turned the world upside down for Christ. And they were just ordinary people like you and I. They had been fishermen and tax collectors. They hadn't been, you know, to Bible college, and they didn't have any special recognition as ministers or pastors, but what they had was much more powerful. They were filled with the Spirit. They didn't have big church buildings. They didn't have Enviroscape projection on their stages. They didn't have state-of-the-art smoke machines and sound machines, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that's no substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit. That can't change anybody's life. It can give people an emotional experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will encounter God. They had none of these things, and they turned the world upside down for Jesus. Without the power, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we work and we get only what we can produce. It's kind of like, what do you think is going to be more effective? Digging the foundation of a building with a shovel? Or digging it with one of those big bulldozers. Certainly the bulldozer, because it's powerful. It has a powerful engine, amen? The shovel is just our energy, it's just our strength. But the bulldozer is powerful, amen? And so when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have divine power working through us to do the work of the Lord. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't receive the power of the Holy Spirit automatically. We need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what that 10 days of waiting in Jerusalem was all about. Jesus commanded his followers to stay in Jerusalem to be filled with power from on high. But waiting in the Bible does not mean simply sitting around doing nothing. It doesn't mean just biding our time. It means persevering in prayer. It means having expectancy that God is going to move, that God is going to fulfill his promise. And Acts 1:14 says the 120 all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Constantly united in prayer. That's seeking. They were seeking the promise that Jesus had made. And they persevered in prayer for 10 days, looking expectantly for the Lord to fulfill his promise. And fulfill his promise is exactly what he did. In Acts 2:1-4, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. After they sought the Lord for 10 days, they didn't know it was going to be 10 days. He just said, wait until. And they were persevering and they were waiting until. And on the 10th day, the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Holy Spirit on them. And the sign that they had received it was that they began to speak with other tongues. And that is the sign of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, is that you will speak in a prayer language that you have never learned before. And Jesus commands us. The same way he commanded them, he commands us to wait to be filled with power from on high. We need to pray and we need to seek earnestly to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about a one-time filling where it's like, well, bless God, 15 years ago at this altar, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but we've never spoken in tongues again since that time and we've never done anything for the Lord. I'm not talking about some ancient experience that we had 15 or 20 years ago, but Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18 to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, something that we need to continually seek after. In the book of Acts, it always speaks about being full of the Holy Ghost in the present tense rather than being filled with the Holy Spirit in the past tense. And some of us need a present tense experience of the Holy Spirit, amen? Some of us need to be refilled, especially after this long year of being at home and getting spiritually lazy because we have not been in a spiritually intense or hot environment. Amen? We need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are not making an impact for the kingdom of God, we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. If we have not been winning the lost to Christ, it means we need to be refilled with the Spirit, because the Spirit of God filling us will make us witnesses. Hallelujah. If we're not continually witnessing, we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. If we're not changing the surroundings where we are for Christ, whether it is our home, our work, our neighborhood, we need to be refilled with the Spirit. Jesus commands us to be filled with the Spirit. We can change our city because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by His Spirit, we can change our city and our world. But we must be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? If not, I encourage you to seek. Begin to seek, either to be filled for the first time or to be refilled with the Spirit. So the first part of Jesus' plan to reach our city and our world for Christ is that we need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The second step in Jesus' plan to reach our city and our world for Christ is that we need to start where we are. Start where you are. The Great Commission in Acts 1:8 started where the disciples were, where the 120 were. It started in Jerusalem. That's where they were. That's where they gathered to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," right where you are, moving out in ever-widening circles. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what does that say to us? To reach the world, we've got to start with our world, our sphere of influence. To reach the world, we've got to start with our world. When we think about the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it seems so overwhelming. We seem so small and so insignificant that it seems impossible. But Jesus says, just start where you are. Start with your world. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Start with your neighbors. Start with your workplace. Start with your church. Start making a difference for Christ where you are. Start right here. You know, every Sunday there's a group of children in children's church that are eager to hear about Jesus. And even though we're not meeting in person right now, you can reach out to Josie Marrero or reach out to our church office and say, "Hey, I want to help with children's church." And she can get you plugged in to help with their Zoom meetings for kids. But I'm telling you, when we open back up in 2-3 months, we're going to need lots of volunteers for Sunday school, for children's church, for Rural Rangers, for a girls ministry, especially for Rural Rangers. Hey, you guys, you know, over this past year, we lost two of our key Rural Ranger leaders, and we're going to need those when we open back up, and you can have an opportunity to make a big difference in the lives of boys and young men as they're growing up. And when you touch their lives, you're going to touch the families that they're going to have when they're adults. And so the ripple effect is going to be ever increasing. So I want to encourage you to get involved. Kids are eager to hear about Jesus. They're some of the easiest people to tell about Jesus. So that's a great place to start in ministry, especially, you know, if you're a little bit timid, because they'll listen to you. They'll have fun with you, and they'll enjoy what you teach them. And so we're hoping to start all of these ministries back up in person. But even in the meantime, like I said, you can get plugged in with the Zoom meetings for Children's Church. And if you'd like to volunteer in any of those ministries or in any ministry that we have in the church, we just recently got two new recruits for our tech team. If you'd like to be involved in our tech ministry, we welcome you. You can get involved in that because they're not just running a computer or a camera. They're reaching souls for Jesus because they're making it possible for us to broadcast these services, and people are listening to us all around the world. And so they are reaching souls for Jesus when they sit behind that computer or behind that camera. They are ministering and reaching people for Jesus. So I encourage you to get plugged in. Go to our website, nl-fl.org, and right there on the home screen, there's a volunteer button. Click that volunteer button, fill in that form, select the ministry you want to get involved in, and we'll get somebody to get in touch with you and get you plugged in. But we encourage you, make a difference for Christ. Start working for Jesus. You know, it'll help you to grow in your knowledge of the word when you have to minister to others, and it's also going to help develop your confidence of communicating the gospel to others. Start with your family. Start with your friends. You know, it's easier to share something important with people that you know. Start with your family and friends, and if they've seen the godly testimony of how Jesus has changed your life, then they're going to be a lot more open to hear what you have to say. So start where you are. Start with witnessing to and inviting your family members, your friends, your coworkers to come to church with you. Do you know that 82% of people said that if a family member or friend invited them, they would come to church? 82% of people said that if a friend or family member invited them, they would come to church. Well, you're that friend or family member. So start with people you know and invite them. You have an open door of opportunity right there. Jesus is telling us, start where we are. Secondly, doing great things for God starts with doing small things for God. Doing great things for God starts with doing small things for God. Jesus said, "We are the salt of the earth." Have you ever seen a salt granule?
Yep,
it's tiny, isn't it? But you put some salt in that red pea stew that you're making, or you put some salt, you know, in the stew peas that you're making, and it makes a, you could put a teaspoon in there, and it makes a big difference, doesn't it? Small things can make a big difference. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." We just got to get out of the salt shaker to make a difference. Amen? But small things can make a big difference. In Matthew 13, 31 through 32, Jesus taught the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants.
That's right.
The work of God's kingdom often starts small. That's what Jesus is saying. It's like a mustard seed. It often starts small and seemingly insignificant, but over time, its impact grows and increases. God's redemptive plan through Christ started with a tiny baby in a manger, but since that baby was born, the entire world has been impacted by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 13, 33, Jesus taught the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. You know, you only use a tiny bit of yeast in a lump of dough, and that yeast goes to work, and it starts to permeate that lump of dough. And initially, the yeast is invisible. Once you mix it in there with the flour and everything, it's invisible, right? You can't see it once you mix it in. But over time, it permeates that entire lump of dough, and you can see the yeast at work. As it becomes evident, the dough begins to swell and the dough begins to grow. Hallelujah. That's what the work of the kingdom is like. It seems small. It seems insignificant. But if you just get out there and start doing little things for Jesus, he begins to bless it, and it begins to make an impact for the kingdom of God. God is repeatedly teaching us an important spiritual principle that small things can make a big difference. Small things can make a big difference. Small kingdom works may not seem like much, but as we keep doing them over and over again, eventually their effect will become evident and they will make a huge impact. When you teach Sunday school week after week, you know, you may have 3, 4, 5, 6 students, however many students, may seem like you're not making very much of an impact. But you know what? You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds in the hearts of those students. Sometimes they may not even seem interested. You know, sometimes they may be distracted, and they may be talking to one another, whatever. But you're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. And those seeds are going to eventually grow in their lives and produce a harvest. So keep working for the Lord. Keep teaching that class. Keep praying. Keep leading worship. Keep leading that small group. Keep sharing your faith. It may not seem like much at first, but as we each do it over and over again, the kingdom of God is going to permeate this community, and it's going to make a big difference. You know, Jesus didn't just minister to crowds, did he? He also spoke to individuals.
Yes, he did.
He spoke to a woman at the well. She seemed like an insignificant person, an outcast. The world had counted her out. The world had discounted her because of her reputation. She even had to come out at noontime to draw water to avoid the scorn and contempt of the other women drawing water in the morning. But there at that well in Samaria, Jesus was seeking a worshiper. The Father was seeking a worshiper. And he had one single conversation with this woman. And as a result of one single conversation, something seemingly insignificant, not only did she meet the Messiah, but she went to our entire city and she said, come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. And as a result of this single small conversation, an entire city came to Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord.
Wow.
Keep sharing your faith. Keep teaching that life group. Even if you only have 3 or 4 people, keep teaching that life group. Keep being involved with that Sunday school class or that Royal Ranger class or that girls ministry class. Keep sowing the seeds. Because over time, God will bless it and it will grow and it will make a big difference. Keep giving what you can to build the Lord's house week after week. It may not seem like much. You may say, Pastor, we need $1 million. That's so big. My little bit can't make a difference. But if we each keep sowing our seeds of giving, it can make a difference. Hallelujah. God will bless it. And he will make it enough for the task, just like when he blessed the few loaves and fishes of that little boy's lunch and made it enough for the crowd of 5,000. Keep handing out invite cards. Keep tagging people and inviting them to join us online. When you do it over and over again, it may not seem like much. Sharing our live stream might not seem like much, but it can make a big difference over time. God will work through it, and he will use it to make a difference for his kingdom. Amen. So start where you are. And then the third part of Jesus' plan to reach our city and our world for Christ, share Jesus with everyone. Simple. Share Jesus with everyone. He said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Wherever you go, you're going to be my witnesses. Share Jesus with everyone. Witnessing is simply sharing what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to have the Bible memorized, even though the more scripture you know, the more effective you can be and the more God can use you. But you can start just with your testimony. A witness is a person who gives a firsthand account of something they've experienced, right? You have a witness in court, and they are there to tell what they saw or what they heard. Am I right? Well, if we have experienced Jesus, what he's asking us to do is to go into the world and tell people what we have experienced, what we have seen, what we have heard, what he has done in our life. Share what Jesus has done for you with anybody who will listen. Amen? Hey, since Jesus healed me of stage 3 cancer, I'm telling everybody and anybody who will listen.
Right.
The other day, a friend of mine from over 30 years ago posted on Facebook that he just got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I immediately typed back to him, brother, I'm going to be praying for you. I had stage 3 cancer. God healed me, et cetera, et cetera. He communicated back with me. I sent him a link for my testimony that I shared at Christian Life Center. I sent him a link for that. And I said, please listen to this. Let it build your faith, et cetera, et cetera. Any which way I can, I'm telling people, this is what Jesus did for me. Jesus is real, and Jesus can make a difference in your life. I'm sure Jesus has done something for you, and you can share it with other people in need. Hallelujah to the Lord. Tell others how you were once lost. You didn't know what to do or which way to go in life, but Jesus found you. Hallelujah. Tell them how you were once depressed, but Jesus gave you hope and joy. Tell others about how you were once sick, but Jesus healed you. Tell them how your marriage was once broken, but God restored it. The Gadarene man whom Jesus set free from demonic possession wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus told him, no, you go home and you tell them what the Lord has done for you. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He says, go home and tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your co-workers what I've done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to be like this Gadarene man. Jesus, I want to go with you. Wherever you go, I just want to be with you. And we're like, Jesus, I just want to pray, and I just want to be in your house, and I just want to be in your word. You've done so much for me. And we need to pray, and we need to be in his word, and we need to be in his house. But he's also saying, go back home. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers what I've done for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so this man, this former demoniac of Gadara that everybody knew, went back and he began to tell people what Jesus had done. In verse 20 it says, and all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed. You know, the first time that Jesus went to Gadara when he delivered this demon-possessed man, no crowds met him when he landed on the shore. No crowds met him. And the demons pleaded for him to leave them alone. And after he cast out the demon out of this man, they jumped into a herd of swine and they ran off a cliff. And because many of the people in that area were swine keepers, they got angry and they told Jesus to leave because he had cost them their livelihood. But the next time Jesus returned to Gadara, a crowd met him. You can read it in Matthew 14. A crowd met Jesus. The first time he came, no crowd met him on the shore. But this time a crowd met him, bringing the sick and the oppressed to him. Hallelujah. What happened? The spiritual atmosphere of that region had changed because of one man who went back home and told everybody, this is what Jesus did for me. He delivered me. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Oh, if every one of us would just go from this place and tell your story to your people, tell your story to your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, anybody who will listen, we can change the spiritual atmosphere of South Florida. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord.
My God.
Oh, your story might not seem like much, but never underestimate how God can use it to impact others.
My God.
Several years ago, some of us had gone to Applebee's after a Sunday evening service. Ruthie was with us. And when we were sitting there and the waiter came over, and at the time that we normally pray for the meal, I'd asked him if there was anything we could pray for. And immediately there was hostility from him towards us. And so, you know, I didn't get offended or anything like that. And as he went on serving us, I began to talk to him. And his anger towards God came from the fact that both of his parents had gotten sick and had died when he was younger. And he blamed God, and he wondered, you know, why hadn't God done something? And so he said, I don't believe God is real. So we started to talk to him, and I started to share Ruthie's story about how Ruthie was healed of lupus, which in human terms is incurable. But Ruthie was healed of lupus almost 30 years ago, and here she sits before us today.
Amen.
Healed of lupus, amen?
Amen.
And I began to share her story with him, and you could begin to see the defenses come down from this young man, and had the opportunity several times thereafter when being in that restaurant to share Jesus with him, all because of one person's story of how Jesus Amen. Touched her. Amen?
Amen?
You might think your story is small and insignificant,
my God,
but it might be just what somebody needs to make God real in their life. Share your story with your people, with your friends, your family, your neighbors. That's what this demoniac did after he was delivered. Jesus said, go back home and share your story with your people. And by the next time he came, crowds were waiting on Jesus on the shore, bringing their sick and oppressed. Never underestimate the power of your story, of what Jesus has done in your life, and how God can use it to touch someone else's life. Witnessing is simply sharing your story of what Jesus has done. You don't need a PhD in Bible.
That's right.
You just need to have experienced Jesus. Anybody here, Jesus done something for you?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask that again, because I think some of you have fallen asleep. Anybody here, Jesus has done something for you? Hallelujah. Then you've got a story. Anybody out there listening to us on live stream, Jesus done something for you? Then you have a story.
Amen.
That can touch somebody's life. And Jesus says, go back to your people and tell them your story. Folks, it's that simple.
Amen.
Go to your people and tell them your story. Secondly, witnessing is simply sharing the good news of what Jesus can do for others. He did this for me. He can do this for you because he loves you. So you tell them your story, and then you say, he wants to do this for you. Witnessing is sharing the good news that no matter what a person has done, no matter what their past is, God loves you. God will forgive you. God wants to give you a new life. God wants to give you a new start. God wants to work in your life. Hallelujah. Witnessing is simply sharing that God is a good God who loves them, a God who is a healer, a God who is a deliverer, a God who is a miracle worker, a God who is a savior, and he can and will help you no matter what you're facing in this life because he loves you. Hallelujah. It may not seem like much to tell somebody God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. That's the gospel. But Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Once you release the seed of the gospel into that person's life, it goes to work. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God can draw them
Amen.
Unto salvation. Once the gospel message is shared, the power of God goes to work in that person's life. Long after the conversation has ended, the power of God goes to work in that person's life. So never be ashamed of the gospel. It may seem insignificant just to tell somebody God loves you, Jesus died for you, and he wants a relationship with you. But the gospel is powerful to transform lives. A man named Harry Ryder tells a story about the first car he ever owned. He said it was a 1957 pink Ford that his father had bought for $75, and he was embarrassed by it. He was a teenager. He didn't want to be riding in an old, junky, pink Ford. So he was embarrassed when his father showed him the car, until his father opened the hood, and to his surprise, there was a 390 horsepower double four-barrel carburetor.
Wow.
Made it one of the most powerful engines on the road at the time. Because you see, the car had been a highway patrol car called a police interceptor. And for that reason, it had to have one of the most powerful engines if they had to chase somebody down.
Wow.
So there was virtually no other engine on the road at that time as powerful as the engine in this old junky pink Ford. From then on, Harry proudly drove his 1957 pink Ford to school. And other guys, when they were leaving in the afternoon, would drive up next to him in their sports car, and they would laugh and sneer and mock and rev their engine. And Harry just sat there until the light changed. And then Harry stepped on the gas, leaving them in the dust.
Oh. Leaving them in the dust.
Harry's car didn't look like much on the outside, but what was under the hood was powerful. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Folks, we might not look like much on the outside. The world might count us out. The world might sneer and mock at the church. But God loves to use small things to confound the proud, to confound the wise, to confound those that think themselves mighty. God loves to use small things to make a big difference. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use our church to change this city and to change the world through the power of the Holy Spirit as we start right where we are. Go home to your people. Guanonayad, as the Jamaicans would say. Go home to your people. Go home to your friends. Go home to your neighbors. Go home to your co-workers and tell them what Jesus has done. Start where you are. Hallelujah. And he will use it to make a difference. You might not feel like you have much to offer, but whatever you have, your life, your mouth, your energy, whatever you have, give it to God and say, God, use me.
Use it, Lord.
Be a witness.
Yes, God.
Get involved in ministry. You might feel like you can't do much. Sign up to be a part of the cleaning team. You know what? They're not just cleaning floors and bathrooms. They are creating an environment that is welcoming and conducive for people to come in and hear the gospel. The cleaning team is reaching lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. You've got to see everything you do in terms of reaching lives for Jesus. So get involved in ministry. Start small. You may not feel like you have much. Start small. Just say, you know, hey, I want to be involved. Go to our website, nl-fl.org. Click that volunteer button. Fill in that form. Tell us what ministries you want to be involved in. Let's get you connected. God can use small things to make a big difference for his kingdom.
Amen.
And especially when we begin to open back up in 2 or 3 months, we're going to need volunteers. We're going to need ushers. We're going to need children's church workers. We're going to need Sunday school workers. Hallelujah. It's a great opportunity to make a difference for Christ. And for those of you who have not yet placed your faith in Christ, you don't yet have a relationship with God, I want you to know that God loves you and that you're not hearing this message by accident, but God is reaching out to you because he wants a relationship with you. We have all sinned, and sin cuts us off from God, but no matter who you are, what you've done, God loves you, and he's made a way for you to be forgiven. He's made a way to free you from the judgment and penalty that sin deserves, so that through placing your faith in Jesus and repenting of your sins, you can be saved, and you can have a relationship with God and become a child of God. And if you have not yet repented of your sins, which simply means to turn away from your sin and ask God to forgive you, and if you've not yet placed your faith in Christ, or maybe you did it some time ago and you've drifted away, but you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's a simple prayer. My words are not special, but it's your heart and faith reaching out to Jesus. So if you want to give your heart to Christ, if you want a relationship with God, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to congratulate you, and I want to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision of your life. Amen. If you are here in person and you just prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen? If you prayed that prayer on the live stream, would you just type "I prayed" in the comments? We just want to welcome you to the family of God and congratulate you on that decision. But more importantly, we want to send you a free e-booklet that is going to help you understand the prayer that you just prayed, the commitment you just made, and how to grow in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer is a beginning, not an end. So would you type "I prayed"? A little bit later today, somebody's going to send you a message with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and information so that we can email you free of charge this little booklet to help you understand the commitment that you've just made and how to continue growing in your relationship with the Lord. Until then, three quick steps. Talk to God every day. We call that prayer, but you don't need any special language. All you need to do is talk to God. Start with thanksgiving. Thank him for the good things in his life, because the Bible says every good thing comes from him, and that we enter into his presence through thanksgiving. And then talk to him about whatever's going on in your life. Ask him to help you with whatever struggles or difficulties that you may be facing, and ask him to help you grow in your relationship with him. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the number one way that God talks to us is through his word, the Bible. That's his message to us. If you don't have a printed Bible, then I want to encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet. It's free of charge. You can read the Bible there. They also have some excellent short Bible studies on there that will help you understand God's word better. But I want to encourage you to start by reading God's word first. Start reading in 1 John. It's a short book in the New Testament, just 5 chapters, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And just read a few verses every day. This is not a race about quantity, but it's about the quality of hearing God speak to us. So read a few verses every day. Before you read, ask God to help you understand what you're reading. And then as you read, reflect and hear what God is saying to you, what that verse means and what it means for you. And even take a little notebook and jot down the impressions of what you feel that verse is speaking to you. And then thirdly, I want to invite you to get connected, or encourage you to get connected, to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, then of course we want to welcome you and invite you to join us here at New Life Assembly. We have a wonderful church family that will encourage you and walk alongside of you and help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then I want to encourage you to get connected to an Assembly of God church in your local area. Start attending, start getting involved so that you can build relationships and you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. Once again, congratulations, and be sure to type "I prayed." For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, I want us to make a commitment to God to say, "Lord, here I am, use me. I might not feel like I have much or that I can do much for you, but Lord, I've just seen from your word that you take small things and you use them to make a big difference. So Lord, I want you to use me. I make myself available to you. I want to share my faith. I want to get involved in ministry. I want to make a difference for your kingdom." If that's you, would you stand to your feet, whether you're here in person or at home, stand to your feet and pray a prayer of commitment. And just say, "God, I make myself available to you. I want you to use me. I want to be your witness. I want to get involved in ministry to help build your church and disciple believers. I give myself to you." Would you just pray? And as I lead us out, use your own words to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all of those that are standing, Lord. Father, almost everybody here in attendance is standing to their feet. And I thank you, Lord, for their response to your word. Thank you for those at home that are standing to their feet to make a commitment before you, Lord God. Father, as we stand in your presence today, sometimes we feel so small and so inadequate. We feel like you can't use us or we can't make a difference, but we thank you, Lord, that repeatedly in your word you have shown us today that you use small things to do great things, Lord God. Father, we make ourselves available to you right now. We say, "Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it for your glory and honor, Lord God." Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that there would be such a desire and passion in the lives of your people to seek to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, so that we can have supernatural power to do what you're calling us to do, Lord God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would go from this place and we would go to our people and we would tell our story under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray that your people would get involved in in ministry, to build up your church, to build up the body of believers, to disciple believers, Lord God. And Father, use whatever time, energy, gifts, or talents we have to be a blessing to the house of God so that we can make a difference for your kingdom in this city and around the world. Father, we commit ourselves to this today, but we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit so that we will live out this commitment and we would not soon forget it, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for that right now. And Father, we pray your blessing upon your people. We pray that as we go from this place, Lord God, Father, that your Holy Spirit would continue to deal with our hearts and speak to us through the word that has been shared, Lord God, that you would continue your work in us. And Father, we pray that you would just bless your people and give them good rest today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you to everyone for joining us, especially those by live stream. We encourage you to join us again tonight at 6:30 for another time of prayer and worship in your in the Word with Pastor Anna and Joyce. And we say goodbye to all of those who have joined us by live stream. We